Sawa Senator First Nation and Musqueam Indian Band are both appealing a court decision granting a group of Vancouver Island First Nations fishing and land rights in the Fraser Delta. On August 7, after a 513-day trial, the longest in Canadian history, and more than 20 months since closing arguments, BC Supreme Court Justice Barbara Young issued an 863-page judgment recognizing Cowichan Tribes, Chemainus First Nation, Penelika Tribe, Hulult First Nation and Lyakson First Nation's Aboriginal title over the Tialuktinus village lands, located on the south shore of Lulu Island, now in the city of Richmond, opposite Tilbury Island in Delta. The roughly 745 acres includes land currently owned by the Crown, City of Richmond, Vancouver Fraser Port Authority and private third parties. The latter properties including blueberry farms, multi-million dollar houses and a golf course. The decision grants Aboriginal title to the Cowichan tribes for the public portions of these lands, while declaring that BC has a duty to negotiate in good faith reconciliation of the private holdings and land used by the Vancouver Airport for fuel delivery. Young ruled that traditional Aboriginal title takes precedence over conventional fee simple ownership, determining that land grants issued between 1871 and 1914 unjustifiably infringed on Cowichan territory. The court recognized the plaintiff's title over much of the claimed area, including submerged lands and fishing rights, and since Aboriginal title claims fall outside provincial law, BC's Land Title Act offers no protection. The plaintiffs were also awarded the right to fish the south arm of the Fraser River, historically known as the Cowichan River, for food, which they did shortly after the decision was released. Musqueam is extremely disappointed that Cowichan tribes, Chemainus, Penelikut, Hulult and Lyakson would go against our shared Coast Salish protocols and challenge our traditional resource sharing practices. It is especially concerning that they resorted to the colonial legal system, which was not established to respect or reflect our traditional teachings, Musqueam Indian Band Chief Wayne Sparrow said in a statement issued August 8. We are particularly disheartened the court didn't recognize the importance of oral history and traditional governance protocols which guide intercommunity relationships since time immemorial. Musqueam has always granted access to First Nations with direct family relations to stay on our shores and fish in our water, but that access comes with the recognition and respect that the south arm of the Fraser River has been stewarded by Musqueam. Sawa Senator First Nation and Musqueam Indian Band, both defendants in the case, each announced September 5 they had filed appeals with the BC Court of Appeal challenging the Supreme Court decision. TFN argues the newly recognized Cowichan Aboriginal title lands and fishing grounds lie within Sawa Sen's traditional territory and directly impacts rights recognized in the Sawa Senator First Nation Final Agreement, which came into effect on April 3, 2009. Most importantly, the right to fish in the Lower Fraser is guaranteed in Chapter 9 of the treaty. In a press release, the TFN said the court's decision has already affected the nation, as the day after Young's judgment was released the Department of Fisheries and Oceans allowed Cowichan tribes to fish during the height of the sockeye run, with what seems to be very little forethought about best management of the salmon fishery. At a time when salmon stocks remain fragile, this undermines decades of work to manage the fishery fairly and sustainably. For Sawa Senator members, whose treaty fishing rights are already less than fully realized, the consequences could be devastating, the release states. Chief Laura Cassidy said Sawa Senator First Nation cannot stand by while their treaty rights are undermined. We're appealing this decision as a nation, acting firmly, responsibly and with determination to protect our treaty and our future. These lands and waters have been part of Sawa Sen's traditional territory since time immemorial, and they must continue to sustain our people for generations to come, Cassidy said in a press release. TFN is working closely with the Musqueam Indian Band in their mutual appeals, the release states, a collaboration that reflects the deep cultural, environmental and economic connections both nations have to the land and waters, and underscores a shared commitment to protecting these resources for future generations. Noting the lands and waters around the south arm of the Fraser is traditional Musqueam territory, Chief Wayne Sparrow said Musqueam Indian Band is deeply concerned by the judgment, particularly its potential impacts on future land claims and court declarations of Aboriginal rights to another First Nations core territory. Like many Musqueam families, I come from generations of fishers who worked tirelessly to protect our territory, rights, and resources. We will continue to follow the guidance of our elders and ancestors by vigorously appealing this decision and thank the many other First Nations who have offered their support, Sparrow said in a Musqueam Indian Band press release. In TFN's release, Sparrow said the two nations have worked side by side for generations to protect their shared waters. The path forward is through respectful dialogue between First Nations. We will fight to protect our title and our rights. In its release, TFN said it respects the work of the judiciary but cannot accept outcomes that diminish its treaty or relegate its people to bystanders in their own territory, adding Sahwa Senator expects Canada and British Columbia, as treaty partners, to live up to their obligations. Sahwa Senator will always stand up for the rights of our people, Cassidy said. We are committed to leading with strength, protecting our treaty, and ensuring a future where our members are treated as full and equal partners in decisions that affect our lands, waters, and way of life. The province of British Columbia and the city of Richmond are appealing the Supreme Court's decision. On August 11, Attorney General Nikki Sharma said the province strongly disagrees with the court's decision and announced it will be filing an appeal, as well as seeking a stay to pause implementation of the judgment until the appeal is resolved. Sharma said the government is concerned the case could have unintended consequences by setting a precedent that overrules private property rights. Our government is committed to protecting and upholding private property rights, while advancing the critical work of reconciliation, she said. This case is an example of why the province prefers to resolve land claims through negotiation, where we can protect property rights directly, rather than risk considerable uncertainty through court decisions. Sharma said her team is working through what they think are quite a few grounds of appeal as they prepare their filing. In the meantime, we are open to sitting down with nations in this province to make sure that we can come to an agreement in a more certain way through our reconciliation work, she said in a press conference after the announcement was made. The city of Richmond announced on September 4 it had filed an appeal, with Mayor Malcolm Brody saying the court's decision to undermine established fee simple ownership of the properties under the BC Land Title Act within the identified area is unprecedented and compromises the entire land title system in British Columbia. Property owners in Richmond and throughout the province can no longer rely on their title confirming a fee simple interest as conclusive evidence of absolute ownership of their land. The court's untenable decision cannot remain unchallenged, Brody said in a press release. With files from Sonal Gupta, Local Journalism Initiative, Robert Barron and Mark Page, Black Press Media.